Trying to look at from the human side and seeing myself in the story and wondering what it must have been like. I mean, what did they do in the evenings? I mean, when they done work all day, they worked out in the fields as farmers. What do? They say, well, we're going to go back to the tent. We're going to sit around the fire and sing Kumbaya. I don't know. What are they going to do? I've often wondered, what would you do? What would be the expectation of, you know, the evening living in the first century? And then what was it like for that very first Christmas? I want to preach on the subject tonight, an unlikely Christmas. You know, really without much fanfare and beauty, the first Christmas day that happened 2,000 years ago was probably the most unlikely of all the Christmases since. Would not be like anything that you would have expected. And there's so much that we build up to Christmas, and we, with that building up, we have these high expectations. This is what we want it to be like, and this is what we plan to be like, and we have all of the preparations with the decorations and the lights, the trees, and the gifts, and the family, and the travel, and the meals. But on that first Christmas, there was none of that. The innkeeper did not even acknowledge Joseph and Mary, or the baby. Even the people of the first century, they paid no attention to the birth of Jesus. I mean, if you think about it, Joseph and Mary were even kind of cast aside. I'm sure there were other babies that were born at the same night that Jesus was, and they might have gotten even more attention than the birth of Jesus. Let me call your attention, if you would, go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And let's just read through this and try to imagine what this unlikely Christmas was like. What was it as we examine this passage and look at it and see it from the eyes of those in the first century? Verse number 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, let's stop there for a minute. We understand what it is to be taxed. We can kind of connect with that. But Caesar said that all the world was to be taxed, and let's read on the story and look at the impact this had. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, when my wife and I, when we were expecting our first, there was a lot of preparation about getting ready for the birth of the baby. We had the room all fixed up. We had the, you know, everything all laid out. The crib, the bed, the curtains, the changing table. I mean, everything was just ready for the birth. And we knew the plan. We had made the route to where the hospital was and back. And we kind of did a few practice runs in case it happened in the middle of the night. I mean, I remember that day was so special when we got in the car, we went to the hospital, and Nathan was born. And then the same for Chelsea. I remember when we did the same thing. We made preparations, and you know, we had a room already, and it was just exciting. It was a great time. We looked at names. We already had our name picked out. We had everything laid out. We're ready. Because we just knew, you know, this is the room, and this is where they're going to go. And we went through that kind of the hospital orientation. We had it all lined out. We knew exactly what was going to happen. But this birth wasn't anything like that. It was unlikely. It was unlike anything that you can even imagine. I mean, consider with me three aspects of this unlikely Christmas being an unlikely birth. Because its meaning was so impacting, but it wasn't like what they expected. The word that we speak of when we consider the fact of what this meant was that Jesus was the God-man. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word was dwelt among us. What was the Word? The Word was God. That God came, Emmanuel, Matthew 1 says. He's God with us. One man described it like this. It's like when you set up a saltwater aquarium. Anyone ever had a saltwater aquarium? Anyone ever had something like that in your house? No, I love the saltwater aquariums. I think they're beautiful. You know, you go into a, it seems like you go into a dentist office and they always have a saltwater aquarium, you know? I don't know what it is, but then you go there and it's just beautiful. I have one place that I go to, and I go more than I want to go. It's a body shop for my car. And you go in, they have this big, great, big, beautiful saltwater aquarium. There's a lot of preparation, a lot of effort involved in getting it set up and to maintain it. You have to make sure that, you know, there's a balance of the sodium and all those kind of things. And then you take the fish and put it in there, and they go run and hide somewhere where you can't see them. They don't really care how much effort was put into the aquarium. They're just there. And it seemed like in the first century, people didn't really know how much was involved in this unlikely Christmas. It was just that God incarnated himself in human flesh. What happened that first Christmas was that holiness came to unholiness. Light came to darkness. Perfection came to imperfection. Righteousness came to unrighteousness, and hope came to the hopeless. That's what happened. That's what took place. And this baby that came, while a new baby brings joy and happiness to the couple, this baby that came brings joy to the whole world. So it was an unlikely birth, and why was it so unlikely? Because of its method. It was one of a kind method. The Jews were looking for Jesus, the Messiah, to come, but they were convinced he was going to come as a conquering hero. And he was going to march into Jerusalem and conquer all of his enemies. They were convinced that he was going to be like the mighty warrior King David was. They had no idea, at least in their mind, that there was going to be a baby that was born 2,000 years ago in a manger of all things. It was the Messiah. You see, what God had done was God had chosen a virgin. Something that has never done before, never will be done again, because it was a miraculous birth that God had done a work in Mary. Here was a woman who was betrothed to Joseph. That was a ceremonial event. They went to the temple. They were married in the temple, or engaged, if you would. And then a year later, there would be a marriage. They were like locked up at this point legally and ceremonially. And God said, that's the one that's going to be the mother who would deliver the baby. Chosen by God. She was a virgin, meant that she had not been touched by man. She was totally pure. Mary's reaction was one of shock. Can you imagine? Mary's reaction was one of shock. She said, how can this be? See, I know not, a man. She'd never heard of a virgin birth. And I believe that she probably thought about it. How am I going to explain this to Joseph? How am I going to explain this to mom and dad? How am I going to explain this to those around me in my neighborhood, in my community? How's that going to be? How am I going to be able to communicate that to this small town where people were suspicious of things like that? How can I explain that? But have you ever thought about this way? God, in His unexplainable wisdom, is more powerful than those things. God can do whatever He chooses to do. Aren't you glad that God is more powerful than man? That He is well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. God chose to bring His Son in this very unique way. Because when we look into the story, there's no doubt about it that this was totally unique. They were questioning in their mind, what is all this? But it was God on this unlikely Christmas who came in an unlikely birth. But let me give you secondly this unlikely place. This unlikely place is, of course, Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph was connected with Nazareth. That's where that they were. They met, and that's where they grew up. And Nazareth was a place that did not have a good reputation. It was a small Middle Eastern town about 100 miles from Bethlehem. It would have taken 4 to 5 days to travel to this place. But God has chosen Mary in this unlikely place. It was a place of immorality. It was a place where it was considered a people of disobedience. It was hard to find someone pure in an impure place like that. In fact, Nathanael said, is there any good thing that comes out of Nazareth? And let me tell you, there is. Because even though any of us here in the room, even though we may be sinners, thank God we are sinners saved by grace with the grace of God. Amen. God can take what is imperfect and God can cleanse us and forgive us and use us no matter what. Thank God for that. But the conditions of this place, they had to leave Nazareth and travel that long, arduous trail. Mary was, the Bible said, great with child. She probably was near delivery when they left. I'm sure that Joseph must, in his own mind, of course, he'd been struggling with trying to accept this virgin birth, but he knew that God could do a miracle. And so he took her. And they made their trip. She was probably on the back of a donkey to go pay taxes of all things. I'm sure that most of us would never think about if we're going to have a baby as a couple, are we going to go and pay taxes on the way to the birthing center? We don't think of it that way. And so as they made their way there, there were no cars and no motels and no stop-off places along the way that could be considered safe. Everyone was making their way to Bethlehem to go pay their taxes. And when they got there, they did find an inn, and they thought this would be a perfect place. And they decided that they would ask for a room. And of course, the innkeeper said there was no room. And so they had no other recourse but to find a place, because now the delivery was going to happen. Philip Keller writes in his book, A Layman's Look at the Son of God. He said these words, and I love what he said. He describes it perfectly, the conditions in which this unlikely birth came in this unlikely place. Here's what he says. He said she had her little baby all alone. Only Joseph was near. The sheep corral, filthy as only an eastern animal enclosure can be, reeked pungently with manure and urine accumulated across the seasons. Joseph cleared a corner just large enough for Mary to lie down. Birth pains had already begun. She writhed in agony on the ground. Joseph, in his inexperienced and unknowing manner, did his best to reassure her. His own tunic would be her bed, his rough saddlebag her pillow. Mary moaned and groaned in the darkness of the sheep shelter. Joseph swept away the dust and dirt from a small space in one of the hand-hewn mangers carved from the soft limestone rock. It was covered with cobwebs and debris fallen from the rock ceiling. There, as best he could, he arranged a place where Mary could lay the newborn babe all bundled in swaddling clothes she had brought along. There alone, unaided, without strangers or friends to witness her ordeal in the darkness, Mary delivered her son. A very unlikely birth. Was it anything like what we might think of at Christmas? I don't see it being so clean and sterile. And one of the things that being married to a wife is about a nurse, my wife who's a nurse, she is always concerned about the sterilization of the baby. Make sure everything's clean. You know, we have to, anytime you change the diaper, you wipe off the changing table, or change the sheets, or you make sure you wash the blankets and everything. None of that was in the story. Not what we would expect. Not what we consider to have been the kind of first Christmas. When we look at it through our mind's eye today, and thinking back to that first Christmas, we don't think of it in that light. We see it totally different. I suggest to you tonight, it's really an unlikely Christmas, because it's an unlikely birth in an unlikely place. But then it had an unlikely message. The message was about the person. Who is this person? Who is that babe in Bethlehem's manger? Who is that baby? What is the message about? The message is not a political statement to the world. The message is not about Republicans or Democrats or philosophers or writers or historians. The message is a spiritual message. The message is about the Savior. Here in this passage, this baby was the King of Kings. But he was not born as royalty. He was born as a servant. He is the Savior. You read at verse number 11. Go with me, please, and notice what the Bible says. And this shall be a sign unto you, which you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's verse 12. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And pick up again at verse 12. And this shall be a sign to you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, not only was the message about this person that we read about here, and we notice that he's the Savior. And by the way, the message that we ought to proclaim to our world is, it's not about a denomination, it's about the person of Jesus Christ. That's our message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of joy. What we find in verse 13, the presentation of this message, verse 12 and 13, is wrapped in swaddling clothes. The idea of swaddling was, and I did some study on this several years ago, but I just kind of dug into it a little bit more. What they would do is, if a person would die, they would wrap them in what they call swaddling cloths, and they would mummify the body. They would cut into strips, and they would wrap the body, anointing the body with different types of odors or perfumes and things like that, wrapping the body until it would be into a mummified form. But you know, this idea of wrapping up is something that for babies, they feel comfortable when they're wrapped. They feel secure. And so the idea was, is that because of their position where they were socially, they didn't have that birthing room. They did not have a blanket available. They found cloths that they cut into strips, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And of course, there's a spiritual significance to that, because it tells us that Jesus come to die, as we sang tonight. Jesus came as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, but his mission was to die to deliver man from their sin. Thank God he did. And so we find that this manger pointed the gospel and points to the gospel and the ultimate death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then the proclamation came, the message was taken. Caesar missed it. The soldiers missed it. The aristocrats of those days missed it. But the poor received it. We learned in this series, Carols of Christmas, we've learned about how that the shepherds were the first to hear the story. Those who came in the first century to bow before Jesus, they were those who realized that truly he is their hope. You see, the message is so important that we deliver it to our world. You know, when I think about the opportunities that you and I have at this time of year, let's not miss those opportunities. If you write a Christmas card, put a verse in it. Or put some type of a Christmas message in it. Maybe even you don't have to preach to them, but you could put a gospel message in there. Communicate that this is about Jesus, the message. One of the things I think why our outreaches are being well received right now is because people are thinking about Jesus. I have an opportunity coming up this week. I'm going to be preaching at a local mortuary here for one of their memories for the whole year of families who passed away. And one of the things I ask, and I've done it before, to ask him, I say, now what is it that how can I communicate this? Because there will be a lot of people there. There will probably be a couple hundred, maybe 300 people there. I say, how can I communicate this message? What should I say? In other words, I want to know if they have any limitations. And they said, it's about Jesus. Tell us about Jesus. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. I mean, when you think about it, this time of year is a great time. Maybe gather the family around, read the Christmas story, talk about the meaning, because the meaning is about Him. It focuses around Jesus. That's an unlikely message, because people have never thought in the first century that a baby that's born in a manger, in a stable, would be the Savior of the world. Unlikely message. But truly, He was the God-man. An unlikely Christmas means an unlikely birth. This unlikely Christmas in the first century is in an unlikely place with an unlikely message, but that is faith in a God that we can trust. You know, the way I see it is we have one of two choices. We either put our faith in the God who can do these things, or we try it in our own way. And try as we may, we will fail. And God always delivers. Thank God for His promises. I hope you know Him tonight. And you're thankful to God for what He did in giving Himself for us. Unlikely Christmas. Yet, God is profound in how He did it. Should strengthen our faith. Help us to realize the meaning of Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord.